were happy to hear that over the time, over having a few of these now, people, they feel heard, I guess. And that was the point of that.
Well, hello and welcome to the J. Sterling Hughes Show, where we share the secrets and strategies of how we are building a rapidly growing family law practice. You know, the past 9 years, we have grown from zero attorneys to 25 and doing over $15 million in revenue. And my purpose here is to document what's working and what's not working and to share that with you with hopes that you can take that and you can recontextualize that in your practice and shorten your success curve. And I have a special guest with me today. Robin Esch is our Director of Team Growth. Now, other firms may call that HR, but in our firm, we call it Team Growth. So just some clarity on kind of the nomenclature around that. And I've asked Robin to come on today and talk about how we are intentional around shaping, directing our culture and what we are trying to do to measure that and see how we're doing on that on a periodic basis. Now, Robin is a special purpose within our firm. She is our top cheerleader. She started 5 years ago, Robin, I think in 19 as a paralegal, and she worked her way up.
Yes.
As our Team Growth, you did your SHRM certification, and now you lead a team of two. In addition, your team also takes care of not only our 75 teammates at Sterling Law, but also another 40 or so teammates at our sister company, our digital marketing agency, Rocket Clicks. So thank you for coming on today and sharing your time with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff. And I am really excited to be here. Thank you.
So I asked you to come on today and talk about our quarterly pulse survey. So can you tell us first, what is a quarterly pulse survey?
Yes. So this is something that we send out quarterly. It's just a brief survey, usually 5 to 7 questions, maybe really quick to answer. And it is really designed to kind of do a temperature check or literally take the pulse on the culture and employee satisfaction at any given moment in time. So that's something that we send out on a regular cadence, just some quick questions to get some feedback on how employees are feeling about their work, the company, and those types of things.
And I've obviously seen this survey, so I know it's in it. You have a really two types of questions. You have your what I would call your baseline questions, the same questions every single quarter. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And then you also have unique questions based on maybe recent events that are going on within the firm that you just want to get some sort of a sense of where the team's at on those questions, right?
Yes, we do. So that's exactly right. We have those baseline questions that remain consistent throughout the year. And then, for example, we recently went through open enrollment. And so that was a new experience. We had quite a few changes this year. And those are some things that we want to get some employee input about because it's going to inform our preparation for fall. So we want to start gathering those right away and just understand how that experience is. So that's an example of some dynamic questions that we'll see this quarter, but we probably won't see again.
So for the baseline questions, what are those consistent quarter-to-quarter questions that you seek to get answers from our team?
Yeah, so those consist of questions such as my job responsibilities match the work I enjoy, my workload is in proportion to my work schedule, do I have the information I need to do my job, has my manager shown how they value my work? So those types of things are going to get at employee satisfaction, work-life balance, relationships with managers, and let us know just basically how we're doing. Do we need to shore up on any of these areas? So for example, the work balance, life balance question, we'll really get at, are we okay? Do we need to look at adding to our team? Do we need to look at kind of redistributing workload? So it's going to help us really get a picture of how that is. And also, are people looking for work? Because that's a big part of it too. If someone's not busy and they want to be busy and they're bored, we want to be aware of that because we want to keep people engaged with what they're doing.
Right.
Ultimately, that will increase our productivity. And then the goal is to, positively impact the business at the end.
Yeah. And so mechanically, how do you get this survey in front of our teammates?
Yeah, so we are currently using our HRIS system that does have a feature in there. Another path that we could do it is just through SurveyMonkey or even a Google survey. What we do is launch it through our HRIS and then the responses come back to us. And it gives us different opportunities to kind of distill that information, whether that it'll break it out for us, but we usually pull that and then grab that data, then insert that into our own graphs and our own own kind of charts to keep tracking that quarter to quarter. So we can also have a running comparison in addition to the information that stays with our HRIS.
So what is an HRIS?
I'm sorry, that's our human resource information system. So it's the platform that we use for our payroll, for our applicant tracking system, all of the things that we do for the work of HR. We can use that to kind of pull tax documents together. So we store employee information in there. Everyone has a file. Our handbook is stored in there. So it's basically an information system for all things HR.
Got it. Okay. So for the baseline questions that go out, so it's taking that example one that you shared about your work-life balance. So every quarter, the teammates will score where they feel that they fall and their satisfaction around that.
Correct. Yes.
So for the sake of argument, it'd be like 1 to 5, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you can look back previous quarters and see, well, we're at 4 all these quarters, and all of a sudden we drop to 3. Something's going on.
Exactly. And we can drill that down to even, you know, just it kind of guides us to what conversations that we need to have. So we can drill that down to specific topics where maybe as a firm overall, maybe our managers, because these are anonymous, and that's one thing that we want to, you know, stay really true to. So that would be something that would be addressed as a firm. So managers going to their teams and just having those conversations about or looking at the work distribution, or, you know, in coaching, addressing that with people individually. How are they feeling about their workload, their work-life balance? What is their capacity? Are they at a comfortable spot where they're feeling both a balance of challenge, but not being overwhelmed?
Right. Let me back up here. You mentioned that these are anonymous. How do you do that in a smaller team of like 5 people? How do you manage to do that without people trying to figure it out?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's really tricky. And that's something that we're really protective of. And I know that in general, in surveys like this, and this kind of speaks to a broader topic as well, we stress that it's anonymous. We're not collecting names. We don't look at those things. But that's true. In a smaller firm, it's not that hard to identify. And employees are aware of that as well. So I think the way to overcome that is, even though we're not looking for your name, but also we give people the opportunity to identify themselves, because sometimes people want to do that and say, yeah, I said this, and this is a bigger issue, and I want to talk about it. And they want to be acknowledged for that.
Right.
But I think a big part of this is building trust in doing these things. So even though an employee will probably say, well, and we have had comments like, I don't think this is anonymous, you know, this is going to be easy to identify who I am. It truly is a matter of building that trust and seeing that, you know, even though you gave us this information and we're not looking to identify, like, that's not our goal. We really just want we want the data, we want the opinions, we want the thoughts. We want to know what's going on. When this information is distilled, we're very protective about how we do share information and protect identities, even though, like, people say it's going to be obvious I said this. We still protect that and generalize data when it's being presented out beyond the team. And I think too, then seeing that that is taking place and just building that trust that they're, you know, you don't have to worry about retaliation. Nobody's going to, you know, be targeted. If someone says something that they're being brutally honest and maybe they're not happy with something, like, we want to know about it and we want them to feel comfortable sharing that as well. So it's building that kind of a safe space, a safe place to express that. And even if they are identified, I mean, can be identified somehow, which is not what we're looking for. We don't, you know, it's going to be addressed in a more general way, but there's not going to be anything negative that stems from that. We want to know because we care, and we want to take steps to remedy things, to shore up processes and things that need to be fixed. So that's a big part of it. The anonymity can always be a little bit problematic in doing these types of surveys, although we protect it as much as we can. But employees are the first to say, I think you can figure out who I am. And we've actually had people writing that. And honestly, I can't drill it down that far. I haven't been able to identify someone exactly, even though someone may think they can. That's just not something that we focus on.
Yeah. So in terms of how you go about collecting these responses, so we've got about 75 or so teammates. What is a typical response rate you will see, and how do you get that?
We've been hitting about a 60% percent response rate, I would say, in doing this. Not as high as I want it to be. Because we're not identifying people, we can't go to specific people and say, you didn't fill this out. So we send out a lot of reminders and keep encouraging people to complete the survey. And I think over time, you know, we did see a greater response like the second time over the first time. And I think as people become more confident and comfortable with it, a big key is what happens afterwards. We need our employees to see that we take this seriously and we are taking action on things that need to be take action. We're sharing information. We're thanking them for, you know, acknowledging that, you know, they're taking time out of very busy days to complete the schedule or to complete the survey. So I think one way to keep increasing participation is just that as people see results, as people see that we're not identifying, nobody's being called out, but yet positive steps are being taken. And we're also identifying what we do well, and we're going to keep doing that. But when we see that something needs to be changed, that they're seeing, hey, this matters. My opinion matters. My thoughts matter. And we might not be able to address all things at one time. We're going to take, you know, the items that are most doable within the shortest amount of time and will have the biggest impact and the most positive impact. Those are the things that we focus on. And we'll keep following up on those to be sure that the steps we've taken are the steps that are needed. But I would anticipate that participation will continue to increase as people are more comfortable and as that trust continues to be built.
I see all of the aggregate for the entire firm, all the responses that come in from that, so I can see from a big picture standpoint. But I also know that you distribute out responses by team. Is that right? For example, one of our leaders that runs the Milwaukee team, the Milwaukee legal team, for example, does she get survey results for just her team?
Yeah, sometimes we will direct questions to just a specific team that will impact that particular team. So it might be, you know, an initiative that a particular team has. And again, done in an anonymous way. But yes, then that information will be shared with that manager as well. And then we work together with leadership to determine, does action need to be taken? What are those next steps, if any? What do we need? What do we need to work on, and what do we need to keep doing? What are we doing well? When, what should we maintain?
Yeah, and I know that these results have come up in almost every one of our quarterly plannings where we get the results, and when we can identify that there's a trend or a pattern that we're finding and something where we're not doing well, and we'll target that with a rock or something over the following quarter to kind of shore up lacking in some results somewhere.
Yes.
Whenever they get those results back, are you seeing teams follow through on that?
Absolutely. A larger one that comes to mind is something that we have had, initiative that we have taken since our first survey, is we had a particular team or a couple of sets of teams that felt like they didn't really have a voice in things. So we created an advocacy group, and then we meet with that team quarterly before our quarterly planning and just sit and hear their concerns and let them talk about, hey, this is what we think is working well. This is what's not working. Let's keep doing this. We take those problem areas and then we bring that to the leadership quarterly planning meeting. And then from there, again, we're drilling down to what are things we need to shore up. So in that regard, we can think of this pulse survey as sort of a funnel. So it's a way that we're identifying larger firm-wide issues, and then we can take an initiative based on that and keep drilling down until we really can get to the core of the matter. And then we see really positive results. Like we recently had an advocacy team meeting, and we were happy to hear that over the time, over having a few of these now, people, they feel heard, I guess. And that was the point of that. And we didn't see quite so many issues. I mean, there's always going to be something, but I think the positive takeaway was there were less negative takeaways.
Right. Yeah. I know one thing that I think is real helpful is that you do publish out those results to our entire team to let them know, hey, this is what you said, good, bad, and otherwise. It goes in there. And we're hearing you
absolutely,
on these things.
Yeah.
And so I think that builds trust with them over time as well. Well, great. This has been a really informative discussion on this. And I thank you for sharing this tool that we have used to great effect in our firm.
You.
So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this. I appreciate this opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thank you.